fighting for America.
As your commander-in-chief, I will not commit you and the rest of our armed forces to fighting another ground war in Iraq. They can secure their own country's futures.
Fighting for Idaho.
I think these guys got to realize that they're role models and they can't be doing things like what they're doing today. They need to recognize that, hey, look, if I do something like that, I'm going to get suspended or banned from the league.
Fighting for you.
Congratulations for the Marconi Award. Did you have to speak Italian to receive that?
Yes, I like it easy very much.
Boise's Mr. Right, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award. Kevin Miller in the Morning.
I'm so proud of you.
On 580 KIDL radio station.
580 KIDL, boy, Ray Amaya, that was a good one there with the governor and speaking Italian yesterday. I don't think you're going to get that anywhere else. That was, I forgot about that. Anyway, good morning. Thank you all for joining us. Kevin Miller in the Morning, 580 KIDO. A few things going on before we get rolling this morning. I want to say thank you to Terry and his staff at Cloverdale Funeral Home yesterday. By the way, you talk about a man who's committed to great public service. Our friend Terry, not only was he there at 4 a.m. when we had the pre-show deployment for our advance team, but he was there all day yesterday. I said, so are you going to get some sleep? He goes, well, until 2 in the morning, because that's my shift to guard the wall. And I said, guard the wall? He goes, well, we never leave it by itself. And if you're, you know, like a friend of mine, a friend of, not mine, a friend of ours named Jeremy, I ran into him last night at Fred Meyer. I said, Jeremy, you need to take your 9-year-old son, who actually called me Bob Ramsey. You know, I love that name. I think that should be my new pseudonym, Bob Ramsey. He goes, is that Bob Ramsey? And I said, yes. Save more, spend less, young man. But as I said to Jeremy, who has served our country with honor and distinction, I said, you really need to take your children, your family to this. It's free. It's the Cloverdale Funeral Home, Fairview and Cloverdale, 24 hours. They're out there right now. Hopefully they're listening. And when I see folks that work hard like you, we always want to make sure that we give them a pat on the back, because everybody's so quick to give you a kick in the derriere, right? Anyway, make sure you check that out. Cloverdale and Fairview, the American Veterans Traveling Tribute, photos and videos at KIDO, 580KIDO.com. But here you have this guy who's got, you know, they've got a business to run there, and says, no, I want to do something for the community. I want to make our world a better place. So he does all these things. He's coordinating everything, keeping me in line, running the ceremony yesterday. And then he's up at 2 in the morning, no, out there at 2 in the morning, making sure that that display is safe. So big ups to him. Let's continue on. Kevin Miller in the Morning here. We go to our friend Chaz Baines, who joins us. Good morning, Chaz.
How are you, Mr. Miller?
So here we have Chaz with the Youth Report, a young, dynamic conservative, a person who is fired up, rallied, ready to go, and to give us old fuddy-duddies an impact on you know, what's next. So what's your view from the youth? How is the country doing? Are we doomed? Is there any hope that a lot of us will be around for the iPhone 27, or is it the end of times?
Yes, that is indeed the question of the day, isn't it?
Yes.
I mean, I've been doing a lot of speaking down in California, where I'm going to school. I've been speaking for conservative groups down there, and I did a speech a couple weeks ago on doing what's right, not what's convenient. And I think talking to people my age, a lot of people feel the same way. It's been actually really interesting for me to go around and to talk to people and be like, you know, and obviously not to flaunt my conservative vest, my conservative biker jacket. I'll refer to it as my biker jacket, and kind of ask people, you know, what would you like to see? People my age, what would you like to see? And a lot of them just say, like, I just want honesty. Like, a lot of people just want truth, and we don't see that anymore. We don't see any of that, and it makes us so tired. It's exhausting.
Well,
to not know what the truth really is.
Well, Chaz, you people are exhausting. I mean, you're plugged in. You're on your electronic devices. Most of us, you know, we have this thing called a transistor radio, which I know that you know very well.
Yes.
But people are looking, the young people today are looking for transparency and honesty. Is there anyone besides you that resonates with them?
I I'm kind of limited to a very conservative environment. I'm going to a Catholic film school down in Southern California, so a lot of people think the same way I do.
Right, but you can't sit there and destroy your credibility that I'm establishing. You are our guy. You're going to, well, Kevin, you know I tour the country. I do this. I do that. It's theater of the mind, Chaz. Well, wait a minute. There goes my credibility.
Yeah.
Well,
I guess we do what we can, right? No, I think the youth. Who was I talking to? Bill Whittle. I was talking to Bill Whittle a while back. He's a YouTube huge, kind of an underground conservative guy, but he's got a huge reputation on YouTube. And he said, what do you think? Because I was talking to him about my generation. He said, you know what I think? I think your generation wants to do what's right more than anything, more than any generation that's come before you. And I really struggle to believe that because we are plugged in. We are so distracted with our technology and with our, you know, what's the next technological craze. We're so wired in that sense. And he said, your generation wants to do what's right. They just have been misled as to what that is.
Then again, your generation voted for Obama.
Yeah, that's kind of discouraging. When you look at like the people around you and you're like, wow, if we didn't exist, we wouldn't have this president again. Like, that is discouraging. Like, I'm not going to lie to you. That really stinks. But my generation has been misled, and I think that the primary battles that we need to be fighting are things like Common Core, things that are going to just institutionalize mediocrity in this country, because it is so very, very dangerous for us to lose our educational, you know, our weight. We need to remain in that heavyweight ring if we want to make any progress as a country. We need to be teaching philosophy and, you know, that teaches us why we think and how to think, not just what to think, because that is a very dangerous place to be.
Our great friend Chaz with us. Of course, we remember Chaz from his many speeches throughout the Treasure Valley. Now gone off to college, soon to be graduating. We're all so proud of you. When we take a look at the young people in the politics, you know, you said that the YouTube guy thinks that your generation wants to do what's right, and that's admirable. But let's face it here, are young people getting involved in politics? When you go to these speeches, do you see people your age, Jazz?
I don't. I really don't. I have people that are interested, that, you know, I explain, hey, I'm going to be doing this if you want to come along. And a lot of my friends come with me just to be supportive. But I don't. I really don't see people my age there. And I was at a dinner, the school's annual gala dinner, and they asked me to speak. The president of the university that I'm at asked me to speak there.
Imagine that.
Yeah, it was quick and dirty. It was just life goal stuff. You know, people at fundraising banquets like to hear from kids about how they're going to go change the world. Anyway, that's not the point. I was sitting at a table with a former, like, 3 or 4 star general, crazy, crazy cool guy, and he asked me, so how do we motivate your generation? How do we motivate your generation to, you know, to participate, to take heed, to notice? And I thought about that, and I thought about that, and I'm kind of on the fence, because part of it is obviously the media. I mean, we have to take that back. We have to be in control of it. But the other part of me is like, well, my generation should be able to exist outside the media, you know? That shouldn't be the only thing we eat, sleep, and breathe.
Here's the other thing, though, Chaz, here at 580 KIDO. Your generation, more so than any others, actually are content creators. You're creating things. YouTube is ubiquitous to you as it was AM radio to a lot of us, or to television. And in the old days, you had the DJ deciding what was on the radio. Now you have people putting videos on YouTube. I'm sure that's second nature to you, the platform model that exists today, Instagram, all those things.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I mean, I think with the Internet itself, we obviously see this huge movement of anyone can be an incredible author, and you get things to go viral and things like that. I think what's kind of discouraging for me is the only thing that I see on YouTube from my generation, other than obviously, you know, the very, very small conservative environment I'm in, the things I see on YouTube from my generation are, they're not, how do I put it? They're not in line with conservative mentalities, to say the least. I think my generation is afraid of being called names. I think my generation lacks the courage to stand up for something, for anything. I think they've been bullied to the point and been told time and again that you are hateful if you say anything against anyone. And that's, you know, that's not necessarily the truth. It's like, no, the First Amendment allows me to speak my mind, whether that's, you know, as a Christian, I believe in being charitable, but, you know, sometimes the truth is the truth, and sometimes behavior is unacceptable or actions are immoral. And I think my generation is so afraid of, you know, well, I want to be liked, and I think that is probably our biggest social hitch, our biggest downfall, is that we are so afraid, and we just want to do what's popular, not what is right.
All right, our great friend Chaz Baines with us, Kevin Miller in the morning here at 580 KIDO. Chaz, let's talk about solutions. And your generation, the millennials, too big to ignore. You're the biggest, bigger than the baby boomers. So we can't just sit there and say to you, no, you're going to do it this way. Actually, to motivate you guys, we're going to have to learn to do it your way. So what do you think are real-life solutions at the grassroots local level? You're back home visiting in Idaho. You're out in California. Give me the perspective from both of your experiences.
My biggest fear is Common Core. I think that's something that we have to combat, because that is going to make mediocrity the norm. It's going to destroy our educational systems to the point where we will not be able to train leaders for the future. There won't be a formula. There won't be a formula for that. They'll just be just totally annihilated by this program. I think Common Core is so incredibly destructive. But my generation also lacks. Let me put it this way. I think my generation rises to the occasion if the situation is drastic enough. I think that my generation would take up the reins if they were forced to. And so I don't know how, and I don't think this is necessarily a grassroots capability, but we need to kind of force students to take the lead. And of course that can't happen without the right education, because we don't want to just force.
Sure, but that's a little too inside. I'm talking in broader terms. In broader terms, when this generation is making money, you have folks that are worried about, I don't know how many kids grandparents and parents say to me, I'm worried about my kid's student loan debt. I'm worried about the lack of economic opportunities. Chaz, if you're the governor of Idaho at your age, or if you're Senator Chaz at your age, what type of solutions, what type of hope, growth, and opportunity do you see to these very concrete problems that everybody is touched by today?
Well, I mean,
I know it's a little heady stuff for before 6:30 in the morning, but it's either that or hear Kevin Miller provide content. We'd rather hear from you.
No, I appreciate that. No, I really do. Ultimately, I've been thinking about this a lot, actually. I mean, my life goal is someday, God willing, I would love to run for the presidency. I think that'd be fantastic. And if thinking of economic solutions and moral solutions and all these different things, I think that we've got a lot of like untapped potential here within this country, especially economically. And I think that would be, me as an avid constitutionalist, which is obviously what I'm going to use as my guidelines. But if I were in a leadership position and I were seeking to make changes, there are so many things within the Constitution that need to just be reverted to and would, provide the solution to a lot of our issues. Like the only really like constitutional tax that is mentioned in our Constitution is really income tax. Like that's really it. So why do we have a death tax? Why do we have a tax on, certain kinds of food? Why do we have all the, we tax our people to die. There's something wrong with that. And so I think just a reversion to the Constitution to step away from all of like the bureaucracy of, all these things that we've implemented. I was reading a statistic recently that only 40% of Americans pay their taxes, which leaves 90% of the tax burden on the wealthy. So it's like, why don't we just simplify this whole process and provide a valid economic, just like maybe a, like a, I know it's kind of disputed, but a flat tax or something like this so that we can provide momentum. Let's just get moving again. People always talk about, well, we need growth, and they offer all these complex solutions. No, 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 no. Let's simplify. Let's tap our American resources, and I know that makes people in the Green Party angry, but let's use some of that money to develop greener energies. But we got to, you know, we got to go from where we're at. We are here. And I know that sounds very Machiavellian of me to just take it brass tacks as it is, but an economic situation, that's really all I have. I can't pull from any other basis. Economics, you know, they are what they are. We get to roll with the debt and the weight of our student loans, and we have to restart this economy in a simple manner. We can't expect just the most complex, weirdest solutions. We can't expect those to be viable. They're just too complicated. What's the KISS rule? Keep it simple, stupid. And I think that's what we need as far as solutions for the future. We need something that's common sense, simplification of the tax system so that people, you know, they don't have to sort through 20 million miles of paperwork to figure out how to file their taxes. We need to just resort to the Constitution and how it tells us. And we need to sell the 30% of this country that's owned by the federal government that's locked up in BLM land that does nothing. We need to sell those to private industry.
That's
of course, we still need our national parks.
You sound like a candidate to me, Chaz.
Well, I appreciate your encouragement.
Well, good luck to you, and please check in with us again, brother.
Yes, sir. Thanks, Kevin.
All right, take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye, our great friend Chaz Beans. You know, when people talk about the youth of today, and this song, I think it's like 20 years old. It's got to be at least 20 years old. Parents don't understand, and today, with the young people, with the Instagram, with the Twitter and everything else, we can go to these conferences and everything else on how they communicate. And whether it's Common Core, which there are critics of, as Chaz talked about, or of any other issue, you know, it's just a different form of communication where you have people texting. Hey, it's great to be an English teacher or a reading teacher these days because people just rely on the texting, the reading, as opposed to, let's face it, communicating, talking, dialogue. I mean, they can give you 5,000 followers, but can they hold a conversation? So that is a challenge for a lot of us. And it's great to have Chaz on to talk about this. And when we say that a lot of folks are, you know, with the droopy drawers and everything else, there's people like Chaz that are working behind the scenes to make a difference 20, 40 years from now, 20, 30 years from now. He could be the next president of the United States. That's a great goal to have. That's a great way to, a very inspirational way to kick off this Friday morning. How about some traffic? Already
on Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now back to Kevin Miller, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Everyone's watching. 580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. Phone numbers 580-5436. 580-KIDO. You know, I'm sitting here looking at a new report, and folks, this is, as we're talking to our friend Chaz and others, there's a disturbing report about marriage. Let's take a listen.
America, and they go all the way back to 1920 when 65% of those who were 18 years old and older were married. Now we're down to 50.3%, a drop from 5% last year, but it shows a steady decline. Actually, we hit a high in 1960. You know, the birth of the baby boomers all happened then. This year, they did something different. They added also same-sex couples, married couples. They think there are about 182,000 families who are same-sex couples, but that number really didn't boost the marriage rate at all, and it continues to drop.
Oh, there's some good news today. There's some really good news from our friends at Breitbart. According to the census, marriage rate hitting a 93-year low. Now, what can we do about it? Well, there are many people that are people of faith. There are many people that understand the idea that, you know, for better, for worse. And it's not just in the movies. It's how it really is. And by the way, let's give that that report a proper salute.
Ah! Oh!
Exactly. We can opine that the perceived demise of marriage, I really like it. Well, where are we through in the same-sex couples? Okay, first of all, that that legality of that union has not been determined yet by the Supreme Court, has not been determined yet by the, in my opinion, following Alan L. Morton, attorney at law's dictate here on this program, the ultimate arbiter of constitutional conflicts. According to Tom Munns, who gives us the other side, the Supreme Court isn't the people. That's the people. Anyway, back to this issue, you know, what can save marriage? You know, age is a wonderful thing, is it not? Age is a wonderful thing because it really gives us perspective. We have a, you know, we look at our failures as well as our victories and everything else. And I can remember being a young baby talk show host, and you always love the young people in broadcasting or anywhere else because they have all the answers. Heck, it must be great to be young and have all the answers. So I can remember doing a show where I went on and on about how being divorced is for losers. Well, then, you know, through no fault of my own, because nothing is ever my fault, right? Nothing is ever your fault, right? You know, I was divorced. And I said to myself, look, I'm happy, as I told Eddie, who I thought was Charlie, or Charlie, who I thought was Eddie. You know, I was happy that way. And then you meet someone, and then you try again, and I think that's what it takes. It's so easier to opt out and say, oh, my such and such, this and that. I admire people, not only that have been married and keep that commitment, because, you know, it is easier said than done. It is easier said than done. But on the other hand, people that try again. And that's what it, you know, do we make marriage hip or cool? No, I just think we tell the truth about it. And sometimes we say to somebody when they go, well, you know, I'm living, you know, they're my significant other. They're this, they're that. Or when they say about your in-laws, no, your in-laws are only your in-laws if you're married. No, you don't have in-laws if you're not married. And there's nothing wrong with telling people that. And maybe they'll go, oh, wow, well, maybe I should make it official, right? Words to live by. Coming up next, we'll take a look at the iPhone. Is it for you? The iPhone 6? Got to go out and buy mine, right? Hey, equal monthly payments coming up. No interest for quite some time. Of course, you'll be paying for it for 7 years. And then will it really be relevant? Confusing details next. Kevin Miller, 580KIDO.
Alex Jones, weekday evenings at 7. Now back to Kevin Miller, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. Let's go to Fox News Radio's Evan Brown. Good morning, Evan.
Good morning.
Boy, kind of a little different story for you today. It's all about the iPhone. Good morning.
Good morning, yes. I've been here at the Aventura Mall, which is just outside Miami, where I would say probably a good 1,000 people lined up through the night, waiting through the hot mugginess of South Florida in a parking deck to be able to get into the Apple store at 8 o'clock this morning here, which was 40 minutes ago, and buy an iPhone 6 or iPhone 6 Plus.
How big do you think this is, comparatively speaking? Obviously, it's very, very early. You've talked to a lot of folks there. You know, is this the equivalent to a movie premiere for some people?
Well, you know, I guess it's more like, I guess a better comparison might be, you know, a video game console that everyone waits online for. Or, you know, the night before Black Friday, after you're done eating your Thanksgiving turkey, you go line up in front of one of the big box retail stores. But for a lot of people, you know, it's a good deal for a lot of people who want to get a new phone because Apple is taking old phones as and giving cash credit. So if you come in with an older iPhone, there's a certain amount of credit depending on the kind of phone you have that they'll give you towards the newer phone. For a lot of people, it's just a matter of getting the brand new thing and paying whatever it costs. I spoke with one guy who's a huge Apple fan. He's ecstatic that the new 6 or 6 Plus, and he's not sure which one he's going to get yet. Depends on when he, you know, feels them out, that they're bigger, that they have bigger screens, something that he always envied from some of the Android-based products that are out there. So whatever the price is for him, regardless of, you know, he's not turning in an old phone or it's not upgrade time for him from his wireless carrier, he's going to pay whatever the asking price is.
Well, you know, have we have the Apple folks that have been so bred on a certain size for the iPhone ready to embrace, I guess, the 6 Plus that is a little bigger?
Well, you know, I guess it's going to depend on the individual. There have been a lot of people who have been after Apple to get a bigger phone in general, one that has a bigger screen, something to compete with, like, for instance, the Samsung Galaxy. So they came out with two options. Both the 6 and 6 Plus are bigger than the 5s. The 5 series, whether it's 5, 5S, 5C. But the 6 Plus, as you've noticed, it's quite big. It's almost like a small tablet. People are going to have to get into the store, whichever store they go to, whether it's their Apple store or their wireless retail store, and just feel them out and see which one they like, which one fits better in their hand, which one feels better on their face when they're talking, and they'll have to make their decision there. Aside from that, there's a lot of under-the-hood stuff that's new. The new phones come with iOS 8 pre-installed, which was also released to everyone else this week. They could download it to their existing phones. And that has a lot of changes under the hood, specifically about power management. The new iPhone has a new advanced processor, which promises energy efficiency so that the battery lasts even longer. That's another thing that people have been after Apple for a long time, is because these phones have normally eaten the battery juice pretty quickly.
Yeah, I was going to say, apparently they've tried to address that, right?
They have been trying to with every iteration of the iPhone, and I would say, as someone who's had a couple of iPhones myself, battery time has gotten a bit better. You still have to rely on some tricks to not burn out your battery, but this one promises a great deal of improvement, specifically because of iOS 8 and specifically because of the processor chip, which is supposed to manage the power better.
Evan Brown joining us here at 580KIDO. I'm trying to think of any type of gimmicks or gadgets. We had, of course, a lot, you know, one of the most biggest Apple proponents anywhere. He does a talk show noon to 3, not on this station, so we won't mention his name. Wink, wink, nod, nod, Evan. But he's yapping about this new operating system that is really supposed to be, life-changing.
Well, one thing I can tell you, one of the things that has been included with iOS 8 is a developer's kit that will allow the manufacturers of appliances, home appliances, to start including, especially with their smart appliances, to start including software that can talk to iOS 8 over Wi-Fi or Bluetooth. So that from your iOS device, a phone or an iPad, you would be able to control these devices or at least set them up in a way which could run automatic or automatedly. For instance, you could program your whole house, if you had such devices in your home, to say, okay, good night, and it'll shut the outside lights off and make sure the garage is closed and the door is locked and the stove is off and whatever. That's obviously, going to be something that happens more frequently in the future, unless you want to retrofit the house you have now with smarter appliances, although I don't think a lot of them have been fully made yet for iOS. But this version of iOS puts that framework into effect. So there's a lot of people who have been looking forward to this kind of thing, especially ever since watching Back to the Future 2 with the future scenes in the house where they have a smart home. And by the way, that was supposed to be the year 2015, which is just a couple months away.
Evan, final thought, any idea, whether through it's your reporting, through seeing what you're seeing there, that this really quells the Samsung real or alleged tsunami as far as the interaction? A lot of people have said that Apple is kind of relied on the iPhone to get them through without being the latest greatest. Does this address those concerns?
Well, you know, the two companies are fighting neck and neck for the smartphone consumer, and I'm going to make a political allegory here. You've got folks that are always going to vote Democrat, and you've got folks that are always going to vote Republican. Both parties try to go after the middle to a degree to sway those folks to come vote for their party. That's how elections get won. Same thing, I think, with smartphones, because Apple, there are some people who are just going to buy Apple products. There are people who will never buy Apple products. And then you have the people that would go back and forth depending on, what they think is a better product and a better deal. When iPhone 6 and 6 Plus were announced to the public, I think it was might have been last week when they had the big announcement, or 2 weeks ago at this point, forgive my calendar skills, there was a major ad blast by Samsung for the Galaxy. In fact, I tuned into a website, one of the technical news websites, to watch a video discussion about iPhone 6. And the banner ads surrounding the entire page where the stream was coming through were for the Galaxy. So they've taken, you know, Samsung takes this seriously. They know they're in a fight, you know, and the thing is that you're only as good as your last phone. So if you put out a product that no one likes, no one's going to buy it. And I think that the best people to ask that is BlackBerry. BlackBerry once had this market cornered. It was theirs. They couldn't, you know, it's almost like they were untouchable. And now BlackBerry, its manufacturer called Research in Motion, has been struggling for the past 5-6 years, and they keep coming out with new products that just don't seem to catch on, and that's because other people came along and developed better products.
Evan Brown, we appreciate it. Thank you.
You got it.
All right, our great friend Evan Brown joining us with the latest on the iPhone 6. Let's get you to work safely and on time at 5.
And Wiley, weekdays at 6. Now back to Kevin Miller, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
You know, parents are the same no matter time, no place. They don't understand that us kids are going to make some
mistakes. It's our anniversary, and I'm not supposed to tell you this, but I think I'm going to get my wife a phone as well as myself.
There we have it. Good morning. Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. It's all about the i6 now. It's funny, is Evan Brown, and how many of us multitask? Now, don't be multitasking in your car, okay? Let's make sure you don't multitask in your car. You know, let's put it down. Let's listen to the radio. Let's do everything else, if you will, at 580 KIDO. But I'm sitting there trying to figure out why I haven't gotten the iOS 8 update. Well, you have to have a certain amount of storage. And if you have an Android, you're going, well, that's why I have an Android. I don't really have to worry about those things, right? Anyway, 6:54, Kevin Miller in the morning. Coming up next, he's back. He's running for Congress one more time. Former Congressman Richard Stallings will join us. We will talk with him about the big issues of the day, the issues involving why he's coming back to try and get his old seat. We'll look at that. Also, I forgot to mention this, and if you're a friend of mine on Facebook, like Bob and others, and it was great meeting Bob yesterday at the American Veterans Traveling Tribute. And Bob, by the way, and others, thank you for your service. I'm sitting there thinking to myself, you know, I love it when Bob always says, you know, when Liberal Steve's on, I turn it off. And I go, well, it's okay. Liberal Steve's back and he's gone. And then Bob is back. But as I was yapping a little bit about this, you know, David Limbaugh will be joining us. So that's the big news of the day. And sometimes we all get distracted with this, that, and the other. 6:55 at 580 KIDO. Kevin Miller here. David Limbaugh will be talking about his new book that apparently there's some controversy involving the New York Times bestseller list. And you know how it is if you're a conservative. The folks in the progressive media will not give you your due. His new book, Jesus on Trial, we will have our exclusive interview with David Limbaugh coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. If you haven't heard David Limbaugh, he's a real smart guy. He's a real smart guy, so that will be in the 8 o'clock hour here at 580 KIDO. Let me see. I'm trying to think of some other things. I guess this is what the show notes is where we tease. Enough of that. Let's get back to what we can do. Earlier we were talking about marriage and that marriage is at a 93% all-time low. And sometimes we have people on talk radio that all they do is yap about problems. And sometimes we fall into that, the problems. But what about solutions? And we have given ourselves the task, if you will, to come up with solutions. And what can you do? Obviously pray. Obviously be a great role model. I mean, the biggest thing, the biggest problem that we have is dishonesty and hypocrisy. And what do the millennials like? They like integrity, honesty, objectivity. We're not perfect, but we strive to give that to you each and every day. And when it comes to marriage, it means being a good role model. It means practicing what you preach, which isn't always easy. It means making a tough stand on the issues. You know, I'm sitting here taking a look at another NFL running back, a big star, decided apparently, allegedly, he's accused of domestic violence, beating his wife because she would not have relations with him. Can you imagine that? And then we hear the stories of innocent little babies that are beaten here in the Treasure Valley. So that's what we're doing to try and stop this. What we're doing is urging you to join us at Foothills Christian Church this Thursday at 7 o'clock, where we're going to do our very best to spread the word and try and prevent domestic violence and child abuse. We'll have more details coming up. Let's get you to work safely on time. 6:59, Kevin Miller in the morning at 580 KIDO, currently 62 in Boise. As we continue to focus in on solutions, we'll find out what former Congressman Stallings will bring us if he's elected. What chances does he have? He's in studio. He's in country next. Always good to talk to somebody who's been there and done that. Coming up, also David Limbaugh and Emily Wither will check in with us concerning the latest in the Middle East. We can't afford not to hear the latest, right? And talk a little bit more about this coalition. 6:59, stay tuned. Fox News is next right here on your radio, 580 KIDO. Serving.